I want you to think about this for just a minute. If you went all the way back to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you spent, this is for my actuary here, and you spent $1 million every day from the time that the Lord was born until now, you would still have change left over. That's what we spent in one day. I'm telling you, we're listen to me again, $1 million every single day for 2,000 years, and you'd still have change left over. You don't think we're in serious trouble, folks? And they just spent another half of that today. $1 million a day. Every day from the time that Jesus Christ was born until now, and you'd still have change left over.
So now it's $1.5 million.
That's a good point. It's $1.5 million every day. Well, let me tell you guys, I want to tell you, you are not in the Bible in end times. You're not part of the 10 federated states. You're not part of that. You're not part of it. So you got to ask yourself, and this whole thing is just mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. And people don't even seem like freaked out. And they're talking about spending another $1 trillion on top of the other $410 billion. What, Iraq? No, that's not true. This would include Iraq, all the years of Iraq, and stuff back 12 years of all spending that we've done, including Iraq, and that wouldn't even equal it. I mean, do you all understand how big a number that is up there? It is hard to conceive. $1 million for 2,000 years every single day. You know, people ought to say, what in the world are we doing? And you know what? Yeah, if you need to text me, it's 334-669-0920. And the reason I tell you this is because of the end times. I'm going to put the rapture of the church here. And the rapture word is not in the Bible. It catching out is. But they're synonyms, guys. It's like if you say heck, you really mean hell. It's the only definition. It's a one-word definition. Rapture is the same way. And for the first 3.5 years, there is going to be a world crisis. Somewhere at the end, that the Antichrist will have the answers for. To the point that they will believe that this guy is God. With the horn. Y'all understand? So the point that I'm making up with this $800 billion is a point that we are... So, do you all know how many $1 trillion we're in debt? $11 trillion. Now, $11 trillion would be $11 million every day. Well, actually, more than that, it'd be like $13 or $14 million every day from the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way, no how, it can ever be paid back.
Is it a debt to foreign countries? Is that what?
Yeah, it's a debt to the centralized bank. But hold it. Did y'all see? And the reason I'm bringing this up and stuff is to make you aware of how this works. Did anybody see Glenn Beck on the other day, yesterday? He comes on at 4 o'clock. I like him. He's the only one that really has got the thing going on. Beck is on top of it. But Beck is frustrated. Here's the thing. You shouldn't be frustrated. You know why? You know it's coming. If you're ignorant, then you ought to get in the Word of God. You ought not to be ignorant of the Bible. And I believe that the central bank, there are two major banks that you need to know about. One is the central bank. The central bank is the main world bank. It is the one that houses the global economic system. Which bank then is connected from there to us? The Fed. Okay, that's it. Right there. And then it goes to banks like Citicorp and things like that. Yes.
Where is the central bank?
Isn't it? Switzerland. I think is where it is. The Federal Reserve is there in Washington, but Federal Reserve is no more federal than FedEx is FedEx. Federal. It is not part of the government. Most people don't even know that. The Federal Reserve, if you look on your money, I need to get a close-up here, Stan, so if that's on AB, you need to take it off. Whew. I didn't think I had any money. I was going to have to borrow some. And it's hard to borrow nowadays. I'm joking. Get a close-up on this if you can. At the very top, you're going to have to zoom in tight now. Can you see the Federal Reserve note on that bill? The very top, it says Federal Reserve note. This is not a dollar of cash. It is a dollar of debt. Does everybody understand that? It is not money. It's a representation of the $11 trillion we're in debt. This is one of the dollars of debtness. This is not a dollar. This has no value. It's like you carrying around your mortgage paper and saying, I own the house. If you have a mortgage on, do you own the house? You don't own this dollar. Guess who owns this dollar? The Federal Reserve owns this dollar. It's called a Federal Reserve note. Okay? And the reason I'm telling you that is the money system has been changing. Have you all seen the money system slowly changing? Where now dollars don't look like dollars. They look different. Have you all noticed that? Yeah, the five. I don't know if I got a new five. Yeah, here's one of the newer fives. It wasn't put to a vote. They changed the money. And the reason they've been changing the money frequently, and how many times have we gone through a change? Now, isn't that weird? You know what they're doing to you guys? Yeah, now they got color fives and it's off-centered a little bit. Look. Yeah, bring it here. Now, this is just a few years of separation of... just a few years of separation of money. Can y'all see that? And can I have this? No, I'm just kidding. The reason I'm telling you this is because all of this stuff is changing so that when they go to another monetary system, guess what? Now, we've been on the dollar system worldwide. Y'all know that, right? It is getting ready to change. They've already got the money ready to go. It's already printed. No, not the euro. The Amero will be the next step, but then it'll be a world money system. The reason I'm telling you this is that never happened in time past. There has never been an economic tsunami as we have. And the reason I'm trying to tell you this is if your hope is on the things of this planet, then you're going to miss the joy of knowing that it's coming to the end. But all of this has got to transpire. Why? Nobody would need an Antichrist if everything was going great. We'd just keep going. There's going to be a world collapse of the economic system. If you don't believe me, look up Iceland on the internet. How many has looked up Iceland since I told them? Well, my wife, thank God. She listens to me. They're already having riots in the streets. You heard about it? I'm telling you guys, it's going to get worse. And I'm not telling you need to stock up on guns. Hey, listen, guns ain't going to solve this problem. I can tell you, the only thing that will solve this problem is the catching out of our church.
Amen.
That's it. And you say, well, Brother Barry, are you trying to scare me? I'm trying to give you a reality that your life ought not to be that of just breathing air and going to work. You ought to have something more on your mind. You ought to have a witness in your heart and go and start sharing this gospel with people while they can get saved by the age, in the age of grace now. There's a call to urgency. There's a call to quit playing around. What do you think you're going to do? Store up enough? What happens if the economic crash really does happen? And all the money, let's say all the money you have in the bank becomes no good. What would you do?
Whatever they tell you.
My dad used to tell me a story. He's supposed to be watching, so I hope you're feeling great and I hope you're watching. My dad used to tell me a story that a government that can give you everything can take everything away. Boy, that's great, isn't it? And I want to tell you this story about the wild hogs. Now, I've told a couple of you, everybody in the room may know, but I want to tell you how they've been conditioning you toward the end times. There's this farmer, and this farmer has a farm. And the problem with this farm, no matter what he plants, you know, he just plants and plants, and the wild hogs come in and eat everything up. And so he's about to lose everything he's got because of these wild hogs. And so these wild hogs are a problem. So what does he do? He gets some hunters. And the hunters come out and they shoot wild hogs, but you know how piglets are. They have lots of them. And so next year, guess what happens? Whole new batch of them. And he plants, and guess what? So this guy comes along and says, look, I know how to get rid of your problem, but I want half your farm to do it. He said, all right. So the first day he did, he put the slop on. And he piled that slop up, buddy, and it was piled high. And you know what happened? Those pigs came from that wood. Eat that slop. Guy goes, well, what are you doing? You can't feed them. If you want to get rid of them, you're going to attract them. Next day, he piled it up again. Big old pile. Those pigs just came from everywhere. And, hey, you know, like taking care of people's mortgages that have failed. You just pile it up. They'll keep coming. Oink, oink, oink. They're looking for that sow's tits, and they're just going to drain it dry. And every day he puts that stuff up. Finally, after a couple weeks, he puts a post in. They don't even notice. They don't care. They don't really consider what's going on. And the realization is the next day, food gets piled back up. And those pigs just focus in. And you know what he does? He puts another post in. And every week, another post. Little changes. You know, they don't really see those changes happening. Every day, those pigs start to come to the sow. They think they got security in all they do. And he just, finally he gets this thing all, I mean, they're all the way around now. And you know what he does then? He starts putting boards up. Those pigs keep coming from all the direction. They get around this one, go around this way. Then the next day he puts a few more boards in. Till the last day, he stands there and waits for the pigs to come. And at exactly the right time, he knew that he'd been training them to come to that food. He takes it and he closes in the last gate. And they're caught. No more are they wild pigs. They're domestic pigs. And they're going to become bacon. And they don't even know it. Because they've been fed every day scrumptiously. You know what? That's what the government's doing right now. Trying to feed us scrumptiously. Try to save the day. So you'll get used to that need. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm so glad you joined us. First Thessalonians 5. Did I say 3? I want 5. But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord is not the rapture. It's the second coming. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travaileth of the woman with child, and they shall not escape. I'm saying, when they say peace, that peace is the first part of that tribulation period. There will be world peace. Like you've never seen. The world will be. All the wars will come quiet. Everything will happen. And they'll say, look, peace, peace. But then when they got that, that's when this guy is claiming himself to be what?
God.
And then what breaks out? The great tribulation. And the reason I say that is right now we're in a turmoil. You feel any peace? They wouldn't be saying peace, peace now. Why? It's tumult. It's been driven to a people have no peace. They're worried sick over their jobs. Anybody here found anybody to be laid off? It's going to happen more and more. So finally, where are they going to get the food? How do you feel about you paying a mortgage for someone who bought too big of a house? Doesn't matter, does it? Can you do anything about it? Wish I hadn't have paid the mortgage. Why should we reward bad behavior? And yet that's what we're doing, isn't it? Well, that doesn't bring peace. The people who are paying their mortgage are mad as a hornet. And you know what's going to eventually happen? You want me to predict it for you? You ever heard of a thing called the Boston Tea Party? There was a meeting here in Montgomery about 2 or 3 weeks ago of a group of about 100 people that are connected with people like Judge Roy Moore that were planning a seceding from the Union. What do you think of that? I like George. He's kind of a radical. Yes, freedom. Vermont is the leader of this. Well, we that's right. But here's the problem. You see, you know, government has duped us because of the Second Amendment. We don't have the weaponry to fight our government. How do you fight a government that can see at night? You know, or have planes that you can't hear that can take pictures of your tail. I mean, you're trapped. You know what they've been doing all along? They've been taking your money and putting up these posts until you're finally snagged. Hey, that's right.
All the states have a National Guard. So, hey, those are essentially state employees, right?
Right.
The federal government does.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So maybe we should use them against them.
Well, that would be probably some of the plan. The point that I'm making is that when we talk about end time stuff, guys, you've got to talk about the actual impact of what's actually happening. And whether you like it or not, and as we get into this, go to Revelation 6. Now, you remember the seals we mentioned last week. You haven't forgot that, right? The first guy on the scene is the Antichrist. Now listen to this. Revelation 6, verse 1. And this is probably, we're not going to make it all the way to the top of the hour, so you guys might be thrilled with that. My energy is running down a little bit, but I'm going to do the best I can. Next week I'll be up to full steam, okay? Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. It's the first seal. And I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. He's talking to John. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow. He's a bowman. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's a king. And his kingdom is this world. Now he shows up. That's the first thing they see is that pale horse. And he's going around conquering. He's got a bow. And he's bringing people into compliance with the bow. That's what he's doing. He's bringing them into compliance. And you know what? People will comply. Let me give you an example of how people will comply. If all of a sudden everybody in here, bank accounts were frozen. I mean, flat out, you couldn't get money out of your credit cards. You couldn't get your money out of the checking account. You couldn't get your money out of the 401k. And you couldn't get your money out of the savings. Any of that. And they said, look, we need you to step down here to Department Central. And we need for you to take a mark. And this is a security so nobody will be able to get to your money but you. We tried codes on the back of your credit cards. Identity theft is at an all-time high. Okay? There's nothing. You need to step down to Central or you cannot get to your money. Now, what do you think everybody in here would do if given that option? We would show up at Central just like the Jews were compliant when Germany came along. You will be the exact same way. Y'all understand? We got to make you compliant. Just come this way. Please, everybody, just keep moving. Please load up on the trains here. Come here and we'll get you processed. We'll take you to the processing center. What would you say? Go ahead, say, hell no, we won't go. Then what does he do? Shoot you. Say, anybody else doesn't want to go?
Troublemaker.
A troublemaker? You resister? I'm telling you guys, it is coming. Look in Revelation 13. That is probably true. And the reason I'm saying that is he's a conqueror. But how does he conquer and control? By fear. And most of us are lemmings. And you know what? Most people don't know what's going on. They don't even know that $800 billion, you could spend $1 million for. They have no clue how big that money is. Now, who are you going to tell that to tomorrow? Have you ever thought about what $800 billion looks like? Man, I mean. Revelation 13. Verse 13. Revelation 13:13. And he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So he's going to be seen as a very powerful individual. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. How is he deceiving them at the beginning? By all the things he's able to do. All the things at the beginning. They're impressed. He's brought about peace. He's gotten it organized in these few little people that he's resistance. The resistance. John Smith in The Matrix. We're Keanu Reeves. We're the resistance. The body of Christ is holding this whole thing off. But it ain't going to be here forever. And the rapture is the next great event on planet Earth. Make no mistake about it, the rapture is the next event. People say, well, I want to see my kids grow up. Well, then you're stupid.
There was a problem last night in 2012 as being something happened.
2012 is a significant date, no matter how you put it.
Not far away.
No, it's not far away. It is a significant date to what we're dealing with. Oh, the China calendar dies. The Aztec stop, December 26, 2012. It's amazing, really. There is no time in history that all these things, we have world financial collapse. The United States will probably fall apart, and that's what I'm predicting. It is in the process. But I mean, it'll be ripped to shreds. And you know, it's unbelievable. When have you lived in times like this? Do I sound like a pessimist? I'm not a pessimist, guys. I have a hope. I don't believe this world has ever been my home. You know what? I'm just passing through. Well, that's the whole idea. I want you to understand that this man doesn't have to go around killing tons of people. He's deceiving them by these miraculous things he's able to do. Look at it again. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image. So he's driving them which way religiously? Yeah, it's idolatry, isn't it? He's wanting to make an image. Who was another type of guy who made an image? Baal and Nebuchadnezzar. Both happen to be types of the Antichrist. Okay, you with me? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego represents Israel going through the tribulation period. Thus, the point of the connection of the story. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. Nebuchadnezzar represents this man here. That's why the story is in the Bible, guys. Verse 16. And he causes all. How many?
All.
Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, let me tell you, they've already got chips that can do this. Unbelievable. Just right up under the skin. The size of rice. It has all your information. You can do it with the animal now. Why? Isn't that weird that all these things were happening and transpiring to the point where we're heading rapidly to that point right there? That's where we're running at a full steam. And the reason I'm telling you this is not to frighten you. That is not to... Listen, being scared is nothing. But you know what? If you want a loved one to be saved, if you want a loved one to have eternal life, you better not play around. Honestly, no playing around. Your grandmother needs to be here. She needs to be hearing the truth. People need to start listening to the truth. Why? It's come. The dispensation of grace is coming to an end. There is no way that it's going to transpire. You say, well, how about 20 years? Okay, let's play 20 years. It still ain't very far. How many here think it's over 20 years? How many think it's less than 3? And you know what? Let me tell you, most people have no clue. They'll go, I don't believe that. Well, then you're an idiot. Because things are happening that you cannot line up if you try. Don't you understand? All these things happening at one time. It's not like the Holocaust where the Third Reich went against the Jews. We're not talking that. We're talking about a world economic system crashing. We're talking about riots in Iceland right now. We're talking about Scotland starting riots. We're talking about $11 to $12 trillion debt. Can you get a hold of that? Where do you think the money's going to come from? That is printed. $11 trillion is floating, that's printed, that we owe back. It's what? A Federal Reserve note. You got to have people to back it. You know what China says? I don't think you're as good a credit risk as... That's why... Why do you think that our Secretary of State... Why do you think she went to China? Well, both, actually both. Guys, now, let's give you a little scenario here. The world power, the regulatory power of the world collapses. What would happen? What would happen? Tony, what would you think? Islam would take over rapidly.
With a global economy, but everybody would be affected.
Everybody would be, and will be affected. That's true. Where are you going to go for safety?
There won't be any safety because I know people, you know, that are amassing guns.
Instead of
I mean, you know, where are you going to go? I just want you to think for a minute. You know, this Bible, we live in the greatest time. We live in the dispensation of grace.
Amen.
But we also live at the most end time of that grace. You know how I know? Look in Hosea.
Perilous.
Well, they are perilous for us and have to be. You don't know where Hosea, go to Daniel and go to the back of the book one. Exactly. And that's where I'm going to try to end this sermon. Because, you know, you've got to understand, it's not going to happen instantaneously. Things have got to transpire. Well, I believe we're seeing the things transpire as we talk. Everything that's... who would have ever dreamed we'd be $2 trillion in debt? Well, we did, you know, George Bush screwed us too, you know. He put 700 in, what was it? 750 billion or 725 billion? And then 800. I mean, George, hey, listen, there are, you know, people are, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. You know what I am? I don't want to be either one. They've sold our country out. Don't you get it? Both groups sold our country out. And the realization is that we're at the last days. We're at the point that it's all, well, read here, Hosea 6. Well, it's just a few more books. Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, that is Israel. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And the binding up, you may want Ezekiel 37 written there. The two sticks will be bound together and they'll become one nation again. 37, the whole book. The whole chapter. Yeah, Isaiah 61 is good, but Ezekiel 37 is the binding. 37, the whole chapter. Yeah. Well, the bind up, it's will bind us up is what it's talking about, Ezekiel 37. After 2 days, he will revive us. Well, the 2 days, guys, are the 2,000 years. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and that's the 2,000 days basically of grace. We're 2009, no matter how the calendar is off, we're there somewhere at the end. Amen? No matter how you cut it, that time is coming to an end. And it's after that, he will do what? Smitten us, and then he's going to what? Bind us up. That's over there. The smitten is where? For Israel, it's that time. Time of Jacob's trouble. That's what we went over last week. Guys, if you will think about what's happening, go to Genesis one more time. We did this a couple weeks ago, but I want to reiterate it in the talk that we're having today. And think about what's happening. Now, you understand very clearly. I want you guys to understand this. I am the least of a racist of any person you know. You all understand? Say yes. I'm not a racist. I love everybody equally. You understand? And I believe that's very important in the body of Christ. I believe you can't do one race. But what God is a separatist. Now, he doesn't separate blacks from white and that kind of thing. He separates Israel away from the rest of the world. You all understand he's a separatist. But God is not a racist. And God has made a hope for every person. He'd have all men to be saved. Absolutely. But when you see the world coming together, what is the world's language? Isn't that fascinating? And we've all come together. We got a black president. Does anybody freak out because he's black? I didn't. Probably about time we had a black president. I mean, you all understand? I mean, that doesn't bother me in the least. That's true. Paul was mixed. He was Jew and Gentile. But the point that I'm making with this is that in Genesis chapter 11, the thing that was happening to the world is happening again already. You know, when you fly an airplane, you know what the official flight language is? English. We're all coming together. Look what he said. Chapter 11, Genesis 11, verse 1. Now watch this. No. Don't know what that is. Watch this. And the whole earth was of one language and one what? Guess what's happening today? You can almost go anywhere and there'll be someone speaking English. Guess what's happening to the world? We're coming back to the time when Nimrod was in charge. Y'all understand? The Tower of Babel, the image you were talking about, is there. And he said, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they're going to build an image. We just read about it in Genesis, in Revelation 13. Right? And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and of the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now watch this. And nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now he said, let us go down and let us confound their language, that they may not understand one another. So how did he separate them? Based upon race? Language. And he confounded them based upon that. Well, what's happening to the world today? How about that Coke commercial? Bring the world as one? You got the oneness, the one world, 1,000 points of light, George Sr. said. One world. We are in a single economy world more than we've ever been at any single time in history, ever. Here. Come on, guys. We have gotten ourselves intertwined to the point. And are there any real true race? No. Is Tiger Woods black or Thai? He's mixed. Most of us are probably mixed to some degree. Sure. What's happening? Satan is wanting us to become what? One. Halle Berry, is she black or white? Mix. And who are the beautiful people? The ones that are mixed. We all admire them. Beyonce, is that how you pronounce her name? Beyonce? She's beautiful. Everybody's going to a single race, a single color, a single thing. That is by design. So we got global community. We got a global economic crisis on our hand. We certainly have a world religion problem on our hand. Amen. I mean, why are most people atheists? They blame all the world's wars on religion. And haven't they been really at the pit of it all? Well, that's true. I mean, come on, we're all in Adam, right? You know, we're going to have a problem getting out of Adam, but all of this has come to pass where it's finally ahead. And it's going to break down. But it's got to happen. And does it happen right before the rapture? Right after the rapture? I don't know. I just know what Paul said. Go to Timothy. Well, it's been happening mainly in our lives, for sure. Second Timothy, chapter 3. The point that I'm making is, guys, listen, you're not living in easy times. You're living in grace, but you're not living in easy times. This is what he said about the age of grace coming to an end. Know this also, that in the last days, what are we talking about? Right here. That little segment right there. That's what we're talking about. That's where we are. Say, is it 10 years? 5 years? 3 years? We're definitely out of 2000 down toward the end. No matter how. This is what he said. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are you expecting it? Are you shocked by it? How perilous can it get? Who knows? We're not going to go through wrath, but he didn't say we're going through wrath here. No, but not on easy street. The point that I want you to make is it's not going to be a bed of roses.
That's right.
What would my recommendation be? Setting your affections on things above. People have a feeling that this is my house. And this is my car. And these are my people. I'm always tricked out by preachers thinking, Larry's my person. Really? I thought he was God's. Say, well, I want to go to this other church. Well, good. Go. You're not mine. I want to go up to hear Sean. Great. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. This isn't our church. The church is the body of Christ, folks. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetousness. And you know what's going to bring? You know, you ought to look up how many times Jesus Christ tells you to beware of covetousness in this Bible. You know why? You've got your affections there. And where your heart is, your treasure, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And let me tell you, that will be how the Antichrist will move you to a mark. Now, I believe you're sealed. You all understand? But I'm talking about people in general. It absolutely is. But it has to do on a financial, a gain type thing where idolatry can be without gain. I mean, they're different in aspects. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parent. You know anybody like that? Unthankful. You know anybody like that? Unholy. Without natural affection. Have you ever heard of a mother killing her five children? I mean, but when we were little, you ever hear that? Guy over here blew his a wife and his stepmother away and then killed himself. They're without natural affection. Two Sundays ago. Well, yeah, we didn't kill our classmate. What's happening? People are without natural affection. They'll walk into a car dealership. I'm only doing that for Tony. Little Toyota ad here. This part of the program is brought to you by Toyota. Moving forward. Is that okay? Not bad for $25. If you want to advertise with us, no, I'm just kidding. Without natural, they'll go into a place, a mall, or whatever, and just shoot down people. Had you ever heard of that 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Yeah. What about
children
killing people? Yeah.
11-year-old boy. Shot his mother, his daddy's girlfriend that was pregnant.
Yeah,
because
he was jealous.
But a lot of them are killing people they don't even know.
Well, no, that's... Just shoot. Well, that guy that was... the Washington sniper that came right over here and killed a couple people. ABC store, yeah. Didn't know him. In the trunk of a car, set up. Think about it. They cut out the hole and they planned the whole thing so he could see and went around shooting people. Or without natural affection. You don't think we're living in these days? Truce breakers. How many people have had someone say, hey, I'll come to church, and then they don't show up? Incontinent, that has to do with sexual problems. Fierce, despiser of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. You know, people think too highly of themselves. The Bible says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But here's the real thing. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know what the power is? It's the Word of God. It has to do with the gospel, but it has to do with this. They act like they're godly, but they quit using Scripture. Have you seen that happen lately? I mean, hello? Hello, Mr. Joel Olstein? I'm having a problem. See this. Hello? God is good. God is love. Yeah. You don't think this... Folks, we're living in these days. We're living at the time where there's going to be a transition from the age of grace onto the time of Jacob's trouble. The last week of the prophecy of Daniel. And we're there. You're sitting on the ledge. When God will know how much you love Him. He doesn't tell you to rush hell with a water bucket. You know what He tells you to do? Stand. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Do not stand up for yourself, but stand up for the truth. And stand at it. And let me tell you, there's some things happening that the devil is going to be doing to you that will try to discourage you. Shirley, I hope you're watching. Ephesians 6, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what he's going to be doing? Throwing darts at you guys. Try to intimidate you, scare you. But don't you be moved Don't you realize that your hope, the only hope you've got, is the catching out? There isn't anything else you can do. Can you eat bullets? No, you can't eat bullets. But there is something that gets rid of this fiery darts. Look what he says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So it's going to take all of it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, do what? Stand therefore. Do not be removable. Have your truth down. Listen, you've got to have the doctrine down. Why? There's going to be all kinds of things flung at you, and you've got to be able to defend it. And I won't be there to help, maybe. You'll be there alone, or maybe with a few friends. And you'll be the only one that knows. When they throw philosophy at you and vain deceit, and they throw all the new age stuff at you, you can say, hey, that's not the way it is. You know, I get weird comments as I travel around the country doing blood work and doing different things. Very interesting. They all think I know the Bible. And I don't know it very well. But it's fascinating that they think I have some wisdom. Well, if I got anything, it's because of that book right there and a man called E.C. Moore that taught me. And I didn't get anything that he didn't teach me, and I haven't taught you anything that I hadn't got taught. I haven't discovered anything pretty much on my own. So how do you get it? By hopefully faithful men who will be able to teach you also. Why should you be at the Bible conference? That's where you should be on March 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's where you ought to be. You know why? That's where you get the strength from the Scriptures. How many here know more about the Bible here now than before they came? That's the whole idea. It's strengthening you. You know why? There's coming a day when you're going to have to do what? Stand. And you're not going to be dependent on me. You best not to be dependent on Barry Hampton. He'll let you down. Your dependence better be on this Word and on the Word of God and the truth of this God and the gospel that God's given us. Because outside of that, there's nothing. Listen, guys, you know what? Listen, I don't know whether you're lost or saved in here. But if there's any inkling in your mind that you might be lost, you know what I would do? I would trust the Lord. What did He do? He died for all of your sins. And there is somewhere in the calendar of your life that you could say, hey, I realize what He did for me. Is He going to change what He did? Can you change by believing something? No. But you come to a realization, I say, voila moment. That all of a sudden it's anything about you. It's about Him. It's about what He did. And if that moment hadn't come, then you need to get it to come. Why? Because I don't know how many days left we have. I don't know if it's in the weeks or if it's counted in the periods of years. But I do know this, that the rapture will be the next event. And after that, and I could believe that there could be economic crash right there. And then Satan will come in and start fixing it and start his kingdom. And I believe we're in those days. I do not believe you're pointed under wrath. I do not. There's no need for the church to go through that. Christ paid it all. We don't need any more payment to us. But let me tell you, they didn't say that you weren't going to go through perilous times. Well, I made an hour and 3 minutes, so